produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Almighty, the whole earth is filled with His glory. Welcome back to another broadcast, another episode of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matthew and Stephanie Garrity.
Hello, God bless you.
And we are founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we're also founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit for such a time as this, that God is empowered to bring His healing, His deliverance, restoration, new life in Christ, bringing awakening to households, cities, regions, states, and nation to restore and rebuild the tabernacle of David, as it says in Amos chapter 9, verse 11. And we're to look to the pattern of the tabernacle of David as a pattern for the New Testament church according to Acts 15:16. So we're called to restore and rebuild. We're called to equip and empower, as it says that the fivefold ministry is called. God's called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that we would all come to the full knowledge of Christ, that Christ would be fully formed in everyone, that we would all come to the full measure and stature of Christ. And we're also called to revive and heal. And through River of Heaven Ministries, we provide support monthly to widows in need, and also orphans, and people who have been struck by disastrous situations in their life. People who don't know how to make ends meet. People who are stuck in a situation, they feel like there's no hope. We believe that the Lord has clearly said in His Word that we're not to neglect the widows and the orphans. Matter of fact, in the book of James, God says that pure religion or pure faith is this, that we take care of the widows and the orphans. And so that's just a little bit about us, if this is your first time tuning in. But we're so happy that you've joined us for Gems for the Journey today. And we've been on this topic of the upper room. And how the upper room was not just something that showed up in Acts chapter 1 and 2. It's not just something that, you know, the followers of Christ gathered together or the Holy Spirit was poured out. But we have been talking about how the revelation of the upper room has really been a reality since the book of Genesis. From the very beginning, God was revealing characteristics and concepts regarding the upper room. And last time we talked about how Noah, you know, his name means comfort, and God called him to be a preacher of righteousness, and he preached the things of God, and then God instructed him to build an ark. And it says in the book of Genesis that he was to furnish the ark a cubit from the top. And up there he released birds from that place. And one of the birds specifically was a dove. He was in an upper room of that ark. And in and around that upper room, a dove was released three different times. And we talked about how it's a prophetic type and shadow of how the dove, the first time the dove was released, Noah released the dove. The dove went out, and the dove came back and returned because there was nowhere for it to rest. And that prophetically, that speaks of the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God was poured out upon people for specific tasks, upon judges and kings and priests and all these things. But yet, Holy Spirit also then returned because it was not his time to take up his residence and place of ministry on the earth completely. And then Noah released the dove the second time, and the dove went out, and it came back, and it found an olive tree and brought an olive branch back to Noah. We talked about how prophetically this symbolizes, I believe, where Jesus Christ, he is the root, he is the shoot, he is going to come back upon the Mount of Olives, he is the Prince of Peace, the olive tree, the olive branch is a symbol of peace. And he is known as the olive tree. He is known as the branch, the root, the shoot. And so the dove returned with the olive branch in his mouth. And we know that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He came up out of the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove. And basically, you heard the voice of God then say from that point, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so I believe prophetically as a type and shadow, the dove returning to Noah, the olive branch, speaks of the Spirit of God being poured out, coming upon Christ, upon the earth, but then also returning to the Godhead, because again, it was not his appointed time to take up his residence and his ministry upon the earth until Christ died, was buried and resurrected and ascended to the Father. And then Noah released the dove the third time. Somebody say the third time. And the third time that Noah released the dove did not return. Matter of fact, we don't hear any mention of the dove at all in Scripture after that. And this is symbolic prophetically of the Spirit of God being poured out in Acts chapter 1 and 2, where we hear about the Spirit of God will come and he'll indwell the believers, he'll indwell the followers of Christ. And then Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, he does come and he does not, so to speak, then return to the Father, because he takes up his residence of ministry upon the earth, where he still is to this day. And so that's just a type and a shadow of the upper room, of things happening around the upper room, of there being an understanding of the concept of the upper room, even from the time of Genesis, from the book of beginnings, from the very beginning. And we also touched, last week we looked at 1 Kings chapter 17 with Elijah and the widow, where Elijah comes to the widow and she has a terrible confession. The prophet Elijah comes and the widow says, "We just have this little bit, my son and I, and we're going to eat this and we're going to die." And the prophet's not affected by that. And he said, "Look, before you go and do what you're going to do, just bring me, bake me a cake, make me a cake of what you were going to use just for you and your son. And then you are going to die. And as an offering really to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, and then basically watch what God does." And as the story goes on, we see that the son actually dies, the woman's son, the widow's son actually dies, and she basically gets what she'd been talking about. We need to watch our mouth because the life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so she says, "We're going to die," and then her son dies, and Elijah doesn't just throw up his hands and say, "Well, that's, you know, that's hard. I'm sorry to see that. And your son died. And well, you got what you said." He didn't say that. But it says that he took him to an upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord. and said, "Oh my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out in the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray let this child's soul come back to him." And in verse 22, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah and the soul of the child came back to him and he revived. And we talked about how this is a type and shadow and really a rediscovery of the resurrection power of the upper room. See, the resurrection power was not just displayed in Acts chapter 1 and 2, but there was a shadow and type of it here in 1 Kings chapter 17, where the son of the widow was raised from the dead, and nothing could explain it. And later on, she goes on to say in verse 24, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this, because I see that the power of God is moving in and upon your life, because I saw that you weren't affected by my confession, that me and my son only have this little bit and we're going to die. You weren't affected by the circumstances. Now by this, I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Because he told her, "Give me your son," and God's going to raise him up. And that's exactly what happened. Hallelujah. And now, so today, we're going to talk about another aspect of the upper room. And honey, I find that so interesting that from the book of Genesis, that God's been revealing to his people, to his church, this concept of the upper room.
I agree. I think it's just amazing how it all goes from the Old Testament all the way into the New, and how some people, they focus so much on the New Testament, and they say, well, all the power and the miracles are there, but really it's revealed through the entire Word. It's revealed from Genesis all the way to Revelation.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, and that's why we need to understand the Old Testament. We need to understand the concepts, the types and the shadow. We need to understand the blueprint for us to truly understand the ramifications of the building, so to speak, in the New Testament. You know, you can't build a building without a blueprint. And the Old Testament is the blueprint for the building, for the actual fulfillment of Christ coming, dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, and then going back to the Father and pouring out the Spirit, and so that the Spirit of God then came full measure in the upper room. But what we want to talk about today is I want to talk about rediscovering the prayer of the upper room. See, the concept of this awesome prayer meeting didn't just start in Acts chapter 1 and 2. It wasn't just this, wow, we're going to go up to the upper room and we're going to pray. Did you know that there was actually prayer in an upper room in 1 Kings chapter 17 where Elijah cried out in a loud voice, "Oh Lord, hear my cry and raise up this young child"? That was prayer. But there's even a more powerful shadow of the prayer that we see manifest in Acts chapter 1 and 2 in Daniel chapter 6. And so we look at Daniel chapter 6. We know that Daniel was a prophet of the Lord that God called. The people of God were in Babylonian captivity because of their constant cycle of sin and idolatry. And they were put in captivity, and God raises up Daniel as a prophet, really a governmental prophet, or a prophet with a governmental anointing, to speak to power, to speak to rulers. And that's where we find Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1.
"It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said, thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree.
Amen. And so we see kind of the background here. First, the Babylonian captivity, and Daniel was prophesying to the king Nebuchadnezzar and then his son. And then they were overtaken, if you remember earlier, they were overtaken by the Medes and the Persians, and Darius here came to power. And Darius, you know, he liked Daniel, but the governors and the satraps, they didn't like him. They said, this guy's not like us. He serves his God too nice. You know, he bothers us. He's acting too righteous. We got to get this guy. They conspire against him. They have this unbelievable ploy to get the king to make this decree that says, if anyone calls upon anyone but you, king, either, you know, they can't call upon their God, they can't call upon anyone but you, they will be thrown into the den of lions. And the king says, he kind of feels puffed up, and he said, you know what, I kind of like the sound of that. And he goes along with it, and he signs this decree according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. It could not be altered. And so we see a really bad situation for Daniel. But you know, Daniel was a man of an excellent spirit. He was different than anyone else around him. It said that Daniel and the other Hebrew children, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were men of a different company. They were men of a different spirit. Remember back in Daniel chapter 3, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's wishes. And because of that, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. But they were not burned. Because as they were thrown in, it said there looked like there was a fourth man in the fire. And that one looked like the Son of God. Somebody say Jesus showed up. And Daniel had that same excellent spirit. Matter of fact, Daniel was the leader of the bunch. But yet people still conspired against him. They said, we need to take this guy out. And so let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where we get a little bit more into the story.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days.
Now did you catch that? Daniel went where? He went to his upper room. Now he just basically heard his death sentence. Wow. I just heard that if I keep praying to my God, I'm basically going to be thrown to the lions and they're going to eat me up. But notice how Daniel was not affected by what he heard. He wasn't fearful, but he continued, as was his custom, as it says, to go where? To the upper room with his windows facing Jerusalem, with his windows facing the place of God, where they were in captivity in a foreign land, but his mind was always for the Lord. His mind was always to get back to Jerusalem, to get back to the house of God. But he was in an upper room with his windows open, unashamed. And he knelt down, it says, on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before the Lord. The New Testament says that we're to pray without ceasing. We're to give thanks and rejoice, for this is the perfect will of God for us in Christ Jesus. And so again, the upper room prayer was not just established in Acts chapter 1 and 2, but there was upper room prayer in 1 Kings chapter 17. And there was even more upper room prayer in Daniel chapter 6. Even in the face of calamity, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of, if you do this, we're going to kill you. Nevertheless, Daniel continued to pray. He continued to pray where? In his upper room. Hallelujah. Let's pick it up with verse 11.
Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And when the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed.
And so we see here, we continue to see this unfolding. Really, it looks like a nightmare situation where even the king, you know, like I said, Darius liked Daniel. Darius had nothing against Daniel, but he was tricked by his people that he placed in areas of authority. He was tricked by his satraps and governors. They basically came to him. They appealed to his pride. They appealed to him as the king, and they didn't tell them. They didn't tell them secretly they were trying to snare Daniel with this. And so Daniel then looks like he's doomed. But remember, where was Daniel praying? In an upper room. So Daniel was praying 3 times a day. And basically, Darius knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. So what did he say? He said that, I know that your God, Daniel, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you, in verse 16. And so we're going to see, when you are a man, a woman of prayer, when you are a person of prayer, and you find that upper room, and you rediscover the upper room, you will be delivered by the hand of Almighty God. Let's pick it up in verse 18.
Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Hallelujah. And so we see, and it really what it's summed up here in verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. But even, I believe, more so than that, what basically made Daniel that kind of man that was innocent before the king and that he's done no ill will toward anyone else is because Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel had rediscovered, or Daniel discovered the upper room. And if we're going to be a people of God, when there's all kind of lions and tigers and bears, oh my, around us, trying to devour us. Remember, the Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you want to be protected from the devourer, if you want to be protected from the one that seeks to devour you and steal, kill, and destroy your life, we must rediscover the upper room. We must rediscover the prayer of the upper room. In the face of turmoil, in the face of persecution, in the face of threats, in the face of plans and ploys to take your life, we must be a people that will not faint back in prayer, but ever the more pray without ceasing. Pray. We must rediscover the prayer of the upper room, so that one day those who are coming against us, those who weren't sure if they believed in God or not, they would say that their God is the living God. And that they would even make a decree that says that in every area where I have a reign or rule, men must tremble and fear before your God, because he's real. Because he shows up. Because I've seen you. I know you're different. I know that you're a man of prayer. Even in the face of turmoil, in the face of strife, in the face of persecution, and even in the face of death, you hold on to your faith and you continue to be a man of the upper room. A man of the prayer of the upper room. And so it's fascinating to me how, again, this concept of the upper room, so many will dwell on Acts chapter 1 and 2, but God is so profound in his divine wisdom that he reveals things from the very beginning, many concepts throughout Scripture. And our heart is to explore more and more of these concepts, gems for the journey, wisdom from the Word of God. And so, if you'd like to support what we're doing here, if you'd like to help us reach more people with Gems for the Journey, with our ministry to the widows and the orphans and people who are hurting, who are in bad situations, who might feel like they're trapped and there's no way out, you can partner with us by going to our website, www.riveroftheaven.org. Again, that's www.riveroftheaven.org. And if you'd like to partner with us in prayer, you can fill out a contact form and we would love to hear from you, connect with us that way. If you'd like to be a financial partner, there's a way you can give a one-time gift there. We have a donate section on our website, or you could become a monthly partner with us and really help on a monthly basis to see the work of the kingdom of God go forward on earth as it is in heaven. But there's another way that you could support us as well, by purchasing the first book I've written called Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. We believe during these challenging times, even during these times of the pandemic, the coronavirus, people need to really rediscover who the third person of the Godhead is, Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to get that book, you can find that by going to, again, www.riveroftheaven.org, and there's a resources tab you can click on, or you can find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and, you know, really you can look for it at any bookstore, and if it's not there, you can request for it to be ordered special for you. And so, again, thank you so much for supporting. You know, we do this based on donations. And you help us to fulfill the Great Commission, which says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we bless you today. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he give you his peace. May you realize more than ever before that we're to rediscover the upper room, the resurrection power of the upper room, the prayer of the upper room, and just the life of the upper room. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you soon. Until next time, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Have a wonderful day.
We sing holy. We sing holy. We sing holy is the Lord. We sing holy. We sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Paget.
Good day, saints. Good afternoon, wherever you are. Good morning, wherever you are. Whatever time you find to read the word or to listen to this audio, I want to encourage you once again by saying, our three G's. The Lord is good, the Lord is great, and the Lord is gracious. It doesn't make sense because you are going through stuff and you looked at the week, it's now Friday, and you realize nothing has ever happened for you to be out of the situation. And the Lord has been speaking to us, you know, words of encouragement, words of repentance, words of alignment and affirmation. But you are saying, it's not helping me because I haven't seen nothing. You know, so far, I've seen nothing that suggests that God is with me. Or maybe you are there, or kamtepa mdim, kamtepa di tuloha di keledi, you know, rolling on your face. But we are still saying, I trust you. Praise you, Jesus. Ngoba uyangithand. You know, the declaration is so powerful. When you know that God loves you, even the enemy gets frustrated and angry, because in your pain, you are not rejecting God. You are saying these words, praise you, Jesus. I'll forever appreciate the mercies of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yebo, yebo, fuma. I'm telling you, just need to say yebo. Ah, Jesus. Yebo, yebo. The Lord, you are so faithful. Jesus. Ufelo bani, because it's Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mube Gombata, Lord. May you bless him, may you honor him and his family and their careers, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. the Davids of the times, people who worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, praise you, Jesus. Yena uJesu, hayi omunye umuntu. Jesus. Akekho omunye uthi yena uJesu. So you need to be specific in your declaration. When the enemy comes like a flood, Psalm 68, arise, O God, and let our enemies be scattered. When the enemy comes like a flood, we are kulwa lechi, yebo, uJesu yangithanda, ahuhupotsa, awujwetsa the way o senyana nako ka teng, awudlalela movie ya people around you, people that you grew up with, how they've succeeded, awubulela ditori gore mari wa gopola from ko sekolong o itshwere hantle, and now you are not even married. Wa bua satane, you are not even married, and waiti ne go shebile wa mogopola mamane le re o rata life e reckless. That person o happily married, a kere ke the enemy of a picture. Ao jotsa ga o sana le bana wena ha o so bane le bana. Ao jotsa go wena bathong o so bane le koloi. Yo. Bathong mari modimo wa rapela o bone mamang kana ko sometimes o bontsha bana ba hae. Yena satane o bontsha bana ba hae. Fela le yena wa blessana kere. Ma blessa mangata wa blessa le yena gore a tlo gona go shake ba ba reng ba rata modimo ba tlo galla ntho tsena ba ye ko yena. So ntate modimo out to se gore o ska be wa crack, man. Don't crack to such an extent that you just ignore God. Or I ke sa batla next ke a o kopa o gopole gore Babylon e ntsegele mo yona. It was declared how ya morao ka di chapters bo 22 23 24 just like that. You know, understand that it is God who put Israel ko Babylon. You know, there was a lot of wrong done by Israel. So na ke rata batho ba dumelang gore na ko Babylon ke rona ke. And if we more platform nge obora na hai, salense ke le mngwele ngwele, akusoka tena mudimu, akusoka kwatisa mudimu. Hai, aritsebi. Come on, the children of Israel, it's a model ya rona. Libona, they went through that. Mari mudimu nadula ba save out of the situation. Do you remember when God opened the Red Sea for them? Hallelujah. God made a path more Red Sea. Gore ba kgone go feta. Were they deserving it? No, but according to God's grace, they deserved it. Luen, according to God's grace, you deserve those things. Not according to what people say about you, you know, about the family background, about what and what and what. Mamel, wana di what tsena. Kitsona tsedi re deceivang. Dicena ili bubi mo mahlong a rona, a fog. You know, we no longer see a spider's web is on our faces, on our eyes. We no longer see God. We see what the enemy wants us to see. And that is why most of the children of God end up not finishing what they've started, because they don't want to multiply. What is the enemy of your multiplication that causes you to decrease? Increase and do not decrease. Now, what is the enemy of you increasing? The enemy of you increasing is this fork. The enemy says, I'm just going to make sure gore a bue negativity. Because how do you water your seed with negative thoughts? How do you water your seeds with negative declarations? Ushebe. I don't know how to explain this. Children of God, kikupa ulibele komorao, ne? Ushebe komorao, ne? Ushebe komorao. Ukase rate ur life ya with unfolded khile joang. So kubatlobusa just like Lot's wife. Lot's wife, unanana, something tote atwankoto na de interesting. They were not interesting. Because Mudimo, we have never been on this route before. So, uskasheba komorao, kaban komorao, kimo satana kwi santeng. And utlokweta letwai leo, you'll be stagnant. You won't go anywhere. Praise you, Jesus. And lukupler mudimo yana, ukubeya mupleking abakufad instructions. Akuna mutotli yang atlobeya the children of Israel ko Babylon. Hayo. except for God. Praise you, Jesus. And about specific are for 70, what? For 70 days. I mean, for 70 years. So he was that specific. So, Luena, I have a specification and audience and kabu pelo ba how. But maybe because resena tsebe ya utwa, go sena ntho ya go spend ana go le modimo. O itse mna tse jang o understand ha modimo, tla understand ha modimo through the word. O ka come understand fela. Ke o bolela you can pray and do whatever. But if you don't find time to sit down, take your Bible, take your journal, unke ball pen and start writing what the Lord is saying, what he's teaching you. O show an interest in the word. O tla utlwa ka re lentswe ke hani mo molomong wa hao. Then when you are like that, even when the enemy comes like a flood, when I was going to say, we are going to tanda, lo baba lo. Eh, mina ngiyathandwa. Mina ngiyathandwa. Ubaba owam uyinkosi, ngiyathandwa mina. Bari ba ubonisa situation, bari hayi mara wabona jwano, you are the clock is ticking. Hey, hey, the clock is, hey, people can talk out. But at least I keep a blame because I know hore, the enemy dia no berksa ba talker. People tell about the clock that is ticking. Kanti who designed the clock? Who came with times and seasons? Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. Yeah? There is time for everything. Who came with those things? Go Genesis 1. Didn't God create it? So why umamela batho ba senang clue ba re clock is ticking? It's ticking for what? Because it's ticking for your destruction. If you're going to move by the clock of the world, you'll be destroyed. But if you move by the clock of the Lord, what you understand na kwa how? I say fihlile how na mothatla I stopang o sheba di babang ba bona happen to important go learn to celebrate other people the day o bona mothatla galwa ke nthwentle o bo o feel good ka mogare o mo praiser ai o tsebe the fruit of the flesh is no longer your portion so but every time ba bona ke nyo rolling on your bed you are mocking God. Hi, God, now I'm very angry. Why are you doing this? For how long? For how long? Eish, that question is very, I don't know, how do I put it? It's a question that wants to steal the anointing in you. Because as soon as you say how long, it's a murmuring spirit. You remember the children of Israel never complained. Akananka. Yeah. But it's a Moses in me, sholo. I remember in the book of, I think it's Deuteronomy, if I'm right, where the children of Israel were complaining. Waiting mudimo abe aitang, aita shokore no man, kita rumela di snakes ite, di bete ndiba lume. Baluma ki di snakes, baluma ki di snakes. Mola se bala ba re e mudimo abe saitang, ar Moses ita, snake out of bronze, you know, we were on the pole. Anyone who shabang koyona, utla fall. I'm not implying relates as well, but kibatlo bonsa ro khale man batho ba sokodisa mdim khale ba mo sokodisa ke rona ba khale re msokodisa ka di thoughts sokodisa ka complainer hey baba hi o stopela o rapela utla mthora ese ke le sharp ke utlwile ma o nkutlwile mo skinning since ke le monyane hey wena re montweng le fatshile ase le fatshile bo since ke le monyane ke every day eh every day that's a is sweeter than the day before. O rapela every day, o fellowshipa le modimo every day, wa mo worshipa every day, wa mo rorisa every day, o bane satane le ena o sebetsa every day. So let me just encourage you. Modimo are I will fulfill my gracious promise. It's because ki promise it's an hour of grace, not because we deserve it. So we cannot go to God and say, but we say, hi man, I can't take it, can't for it, we say. It's a gracious promise. And a gracious promise requires character. It requires us to be humbled. It requires us to serve. Praise you, Jesus. So as I'm about to close, I just want to mention something. Pray like Nehemiah. Obey like Daniel. Lead like Moses. Serve like Martha. Believe like Mary. Fight like David. Educate like Paul. Build like Noah. Love like Jesus. Increase in Babylon. You are blessed. Good evening, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is great. He's gracious. Besides him, there can never be any other God. Arifelare, understand. There can never be any other God. In the name of Jesus, Every knee will bow down and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. By saying those words, I'm saying to you, hang in there, hang in there, hang in there, child of the Most High God. Think of Jeremiah. We have been on Jeremiah and the Lord has been talking to us throughout the week. He was saying, tell your family members, tell your friends, your relatives, you know, those that are around you, that the sword of God is near. So they need to repent. They need to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. Yeshua, praise you, Jesus. So you tell them wherever they are, whether it means you need to text them and say, repent or you die. What is important is that you need to say something. I'm saying this because the gospel of truth is that we reconcile people to God. We don't tell people about good things that are about to happen only, but we understand that there is a season of consecration. There is a season where you wake up from your slumber. You say, wow, what have I been all about? There is a season where you realize that the author and the finish of your faith will begin that which he has started. Praise you, Jesus. You begin to rise up and say, hey. The Lord said, Isaiah 61, his spirit is upon me. Yeah? He has anointed me to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to say to those that are mourning, give them beautiful ashes. Oh, okay. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You wake up from your slumber. What causes slumber? I'm just going to mention a few things. You know, when you are not connected to God, when you are not found in the sanctuary of the Lord, in the secret place of the Most High, likunutun limo reneng. Hauna hor okabali faith, butum faith, hawe reki koshopom. Faith, you earn it. Praise you, Jesus. Grace is freely given, but faith, you earn it. Because mudumare, those who come to me, to him, must know that he's the rewarder. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Praise you, Jesus. So there is diligence that is expected. So without diligence, you cannot have faith. Praise you, Jesus. You'll stand after 2 days, you are falling. You'll stand. Why? Because there is no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So I want to challenge you today, Hore. If you feel your situation is not changing, where's a checklist? Am I really spending time with God? Am I really beating my face against the wall and say, Lord, I've done this against you. Are you doing that? Are you consecrating yourself? It's simple. Before God can even use you, it starts with me. Because I've seen the danger of being used by God, but we're now so-called by a level where God wants you, you know, to be effective. We are not pure. According to God's eyes, I'm not talking about men here. I never want to preach the gospel of saying this is how man looks at you. I'm saying the way in which God looks at you, tell her he's not happy. Praise you, Jesus. And then now, how can my situation, your situation change unless Ronari Kwataya, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Praise you, Jesus. So here is the way that I wanted us to ponder on. Jeremiah, Mudimo mubita ali that young, hallelujah. But hamudima miza omujeza hore no. Never say you are a child. So you know, God was just revealing this to me. Child could mean premature. Child could mean feeble, very weak. Child could mean despised. Child could mean every negative word, sidelined, undermined. Mudimo ore, these are the things that are holding my children back. They are listening to the voice of the Lord, that the voice of the enemy versus the voice of the Lord. The enemy tells you, you amount to nothing. You are just a worm. You are a tail. You are insignificant. Your mother went through that. Your dad went through that. No one graduated. No one had a car. No one had a house. No one got married. No one managed to do this and that and that. No one build a house. Get the way the enemy tells you. He tries to tell you, Hore, you are a threat. Because if you were to flip the coin, hallelujah, and begin to see how great you are and how good the Lord is in your life, then you'll be able to be impactful. Or someone might be saying, Brenda, how do you know? I know because go Jeremiah, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So it means, have you ever met someone And then you say to this person, I mean, I think I know you from somewhere. And you realize you don't know this person. But later, I don't know whether it has happened to you, but later in life you realize that this person you are meeting at a certain space called the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. So the divine places of God. Then that's why I say, Kiamutseba. So it means Ritsebana from before birth. But unarita baharasaremolfatim vele, there are layers, so many, many things that stand against our destiny. But Mujumar, I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So you can say, God knew me. God set me apart. He appointed me as a, and then you can include your office more. Mushomu Mudimu is as an intercessor, as a worshiper, as a pastor, as a preacher, whatever ministry that Mujumar relates in you. You encourage people. Maybe you lift up those who are wounded. That's who you are. You are anointed. You are set apart. Praise you, Jesus. You know what? You are appointed by God at a time such as this to rise up. So looking at what has been presented before you versus what is the Lord saying, you are more likely to crack. Praise you, Jesus. So I want to encourage you once again. Hore, Mudimari, do not be afraid. You know, how can I go verse 17? Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Imagine una lady bullets. You've got everything. Akir umlilelo unga pagati. Uyashujerema uthi ey mangithi ngiyathula wenzani uyangishisa. So uNkulunkulu athi uzokushisa ngizokuterifya uzotatazela phambi kwabo because mina ngithe mawuma, whether you see them in the natural or in the spirit, la nkutla bagetse kere, you are a child of God, a fortified city. Praise you, Jesus. You stand and you begin to what? To throw those arrows against the enemy. You need to understand who you are. But when you don't understand who you are, you're gonna be challenged from time to time, and you won't reach your destiny. Ere, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today, I have made you a fortified city. Imagine an iron pillar and then a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So you are a fortified city. Praise you, Jesus. You are a bronze wall. We declare, we bless. We know before you pray, don't just pray, in the name of Jesus. Enza sure, mtana kankulunkulu kutu uyazigcwalisa ngamandla. Uyakhumbula what the Lord has said. Kungavumi kuvuma. Uthi, I am a fortified city. I am iron pillar. I am a bronze wall. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord has anointed me. The Lord has set me apart. He has appointed me as, you know what? To the nations. So you do that to yourself daily. You clothe yourself with authority and power. Agar the Lord says, go Jeremiah, Arakwena, do not say I'm only child. You must go everywhere I send you. Are, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you. So the Lord is giving us an assurance. Born, I'm with you. When I say I want you to vomit this fire out of your mouth, it doesn't mean I'm leaving you, I'm giving a task and I'm nowhere to be found. How many people give us tasks and they disappear? The Lord is saying, I'm here. I'm going to journey with you. But you don't understand when I say I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I gave a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. So it means the weapons that you have are not carnal, but they are mighty to pull down strongholds. Thank you, Jesus. So we imagine, you know, there was a time when the Lord was talking to me in the previous weeks. I wanted to share with you, but he just directed me to another course. The Lord was saying that the problem with my children is that when they pray, they don't imagine what is happening. If you call fire, imagine those balls of fire. If you say, let the lightning of God strike from the altar of the Lord or from the throne of God, understand what the lightning normally does. Sheba fella, the angel of the Lord coming with it. Once you say, I'm dispatching holy angels, create space in your household. Tell them, angels of the Lord, the angelic host, descend from heaven, come into my space. I need you. Bona, reside everywhere, in my cupboards, waiting everywhere. Motivating wherever, rooftop foundations, the walls, the windows, the doors, the soil. Soil ya uska ba cast. Ubuwe ntho engwe lengwe. Because house is jwalo. O tla bela hore o tlatsana le Satana se bua. Akere modimo re, I'll dry up their vegetation. When I bless your vegetation, bless your pets, bless everything o ka ina hana in your household. So the Lord is talking to us. And then I just want to encourage you. In the process of God restoring you, remember, Morena oba etele. Bana bohle ba le fifi, lesedi le ba tshabele ka bophara ba le fatshe. Those are family members, those are friends, those are people in their community. Hallelujah. E re bophelo ke wena fela, empa batho ha ba tsebe, ba lahlehetswe ke tseba, ba gelositswe ke sebe. Praise you, Jesus. E re tadima bomadimabe jwa ba sa tsebeng thapelo. O ba romele di abi tsa ditaba tsa bophelo. Praise Jesus. Etsa gore modimo ka bona ba sa o tsebe batle ba atleng ho wena modimo ka hobane ra o hloka. Sometimes re tse re qale re ba jwetse jwang, but modimo wa wena o phakise morena modimo ka o phakise o tloetsa mosebetsi wa hao hobane bophelo ke wena fela. So bona, everything is a lukisitswe ke modimo. Ke a o jwetsa nna, I'm telling you the honest truth, modimo a never ke mochegele because of what I'm going through, and I'm telling you wena o ska mochegele because of what you are going through. Ha o chegela modimo tla go kae. A modimo a bless, a o hlonolofatse this weekend. Have a beautiful Women's Day. Bontate ke ba bomme dimbokoto le batshware hantle. Stay blessed. Amen.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, we have been afforded this wonderful time to share the word with you. I pray that we learn something new, myself included. And before getting started, we would like to thank the Lord God Almighty for affording us this opportunity and the hands that He used to provide this opportunity. May God bless them and rebuke the devourer for their sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, today I'd like to touch upon why don't we find it worthy giving back to the Lord? Why do we give to the humanly instinct of not having faith or actually being humble enough to possess the wisdom that God is a humble God, and that in His greatness and humility, or His greatness masked by humility, He doesn't deserve anything. Who said God doesn't deserve to be honored with what we have in our hands, even with ourselves? Who said so? I see that a lot, and I know this sounds controversial, but let it be told. I see that a lot with tithes and offerings. People just think that they can give whatever they see fit to the Lord. But whereas giving the Lord your very best God demands your very best. It's sad how the maker of life needs to be given crumbs, and yet alone crumbs or nothing, you know. And we expect the Most High to understand. It's sad. It's sad how it works. It... I don't know why we've given into such a spirit. But here's the thing. It is not only ourselves. Also, the disciples of Jesus fell into the trap of thinking that giving God, not giving to the Lord is understandably, you know, reasonable thing to do, whereas that is not the case. Let's see how important it is to God that you give him your very best. And I'll read from the book of Genesis chapter 4. And it reads as follows. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. What are the key words here? Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And what does it say about Cain? Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. But here's the thing. What distinguishes Abel from Cain? He brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And what does it say? And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. But brothers and sisters, that is not the that's not the only scripture I want to read or to show you examples from, you know. It just dawned on me that this actually started from the Old Testament. The people think you can just give God anything, or it's better, or it's good that God doesn't get anything. Who told you that God doesn't deserve anything? Yes. The earth and the fullness thereof, everything belongs to the Lord, but who says he does not deserve to be given what is fairly his, or give him the best? I remember my uncle told me something at my grandmother's funeral 10 years ago. And he said to me, be careful how you live your life. Give God your fresh years. Give God your all. Because who said God wants people who are wretched to serve him? Because even God has preferences. And now it dawns on me, in the book of Genesis, Cain, in other versions, says he gave some of his offerings, but Abel gave of the best of his offering. And what does the Bible say? God respected Abel for what he has given, and didn't respect Cain for what he gave. Who says God doesn't deserve all the praise? Who says that God doesn't deserve the best? Have we become that too familiar with God that we can just give him anyhow or not give him anything at all? But no, let's go further. Let's read from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 37, and it reads as follows. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash him, to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees had invited him, saw this. Let's read it again. Now when the Pharisees who had invited them saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this whom even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Did you see that? It's sad how we don't think, even God being so majestic, being sovereign. It's interesting how we think he doesn't deserve anything in which we have from our proceeds, yet alone even ourselves. We think we can just give him anyhow because we think he'll understand. Yes, he's humble, but guess what? He deserves all the praise, all the honor, and all the adoration. You can't just give God anyhow. God insists on being given the first and the very best. Don't forget with the two brothers, Cain and Abel. He preferred Abel's offerings above Cain's, because Abel gave of the firstborn the fattest and the best, the freshest. But Cain gave out of some of the proceeds. But check this out. The Pharisee invited Jesus to his home. But this woman anointed Jesus with a fragrant oil, washed his feet with her tears, and wiped his feet with her hair, and never ceased to kiss the feet of Jesus. Which Jesus even stated, "None of you did that for me, but she did. Her sins, as many as they are forgiven." Again, I ask, who said the Lord Jesus? Who says God doesn't deserve all the praise? Who says God can be given anything, just anything, and he needs to settle for that? And he needs to be fine with that, and we need to find it normal. Who said that? It's sad how we've become too familiar with the Lord. It's so sad. And now the scripture, I wasn't planning to read it, but let's read it, just like Genesis. It's just something where it's just where the Spirit led me to read. And wow, yeah, Lord, just do your thing, Lord. Just do your thing. Luke chapter 8. Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come out 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Wow. How about that? See the key words here. Certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. They too provided for him from their substance. How have we become so complacent with giving the Lord nothing or giving him crumbs? How does that come about? Do you see how important it is to give unto the Lord your best? You can't just give God anyhow. The Bible warns many a times of giving begrudgingly, not giving wholeheartedly, not giving God your best. It's sad. It's sad. We also have debates in our days of should we tithe, whether tithing is biblical. Newsflash, Genesis chapter 4, what do you call what Cain and Abel did? Those are the first brothers ever in the history of life that started with tithes and offerings. But even their father, Adam, did the same. We're talking many centuries later. We're going to be questioning such things. People who are never in the period of grace. We are in the period of grace, and we are mentioning all this. Talking about abusing grace, isn't it? Huh? It's sad how we have become so familiar, too familiar with God, that we think we can just give God anyhow. That's not how it works. And then when we see someone who has sown good seeds, reap good harvest, we want to envy them. And we say they sold their souls to the devil. But do you know their story? Do you know how many seeds they've sown? Do you know their testimony? Do you know how they've been faithful stewards unto the Lord? I see a lot of Cains in our days, eh? The Lord shines favor unto these Abels, our neighbors. And the Lord doesn't respect ourselves and our offerings, but respects our neighbors, Abels. And we want to kill our Abels. Instead of really looking within ourselves, checking what are we really doing wrong, and learning a thing or two from the Abels in how to serve the Lord. Who said God doesn't deserve the best? I pray we get delivered, brothers and sisters. I pray we really do. God deserves your best. I live a very boring life according to the world, and I'm happy because God deserves my youth. God, who says God wants you being washed up, being wretched, being beaten up by the world, chewed up and spat out, and then God wants to use you? Who said that? Who said God doesn't want your youth, my brothers and my sisters? Young ladies, who says God doesn't want you pure, a beautiful virgin that you are, to be a living sacrifice for Him? Doesn't the Bible say, let your bodies be living sacrifices for the Lord? My brothers, who says those good looks are made for yourself to be charming ladies? What was the word? Sweeping them off their feet. Who says the Lord doesn't want those looks, those muscles, that good health to serve His purpose, be the first fruit? But you want to give God, just like Abel, just like Cain, some of your proceeds. But you don't want to give God, just like Abel, your very best. If my life is wasted, so be it. At least I'm doing it for a worthy cause. I know where I'm going when I die. I live to hear those words. Well done, you good and faithful servant. And not that I'm putting myself as any of the above being mentioned. I'm just giving my youth unto the Lord. That's what I mean. Who says God wants you in your old age? Who says God doesn't deserve your youth? Who says God doesn't deserve you in your peakest of life? In your strongest moments of life? It's sad how we become too familiar with God. Let's read more words of scripture. And I would like to read from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. First Kings, chapter 17, verse 7. And it reads as follows. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her, or he called to her, and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, with a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Oh, Father, just like, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain unto the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Wow. What this woman was talking about seemed fair. But with instructions from the man of God, or through God, or from God, through the man of God, it looked risky and sounded selfish. But guess what? Here's the key thing. What did Elijah say? He said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. See? From it first. And bring it to me, and afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. He was sent by God. What that woman did was for God. And in following this instruction, what does the Bible say? The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Let us never take this lightly, my brothers and my sisters. God, the living God, the Alpha and the Omega, deserves the best. He deserves the very best. God cannot fit in. God is your priority. God should be your priority. God cannot fit in. Let me encourage you with this last word of scripture. God cannot fit in, my brothers and my sisters. How can you fit God in? God is supposed to be where you base everything upon, where everything revolves around. Your life, whatever it may be. You can't put God in between. He's too big. Who are you to place God in between? Abel gave up his first and fattest. The man of God said, give me first. See that? First. The woman who was sinful gave the very best unto Jesus, washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair and anointed him with fragrant oil and never ceased to kiss his feet. What about the woman or the woman whom Jesus delivered and they gave Jesus out of their proceeds? Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Do what is right. Let me read my words, or my last word of scripture. And this is from the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, Some have unwillingly entertained angels. Let's read it again. Do not forget to entertain strangers. By so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. What am I saying out of Hebrews 13 verse 2? Some of you, by doing good, you have even entertained angels, not knowing. God deserves your best. And who is God? Your neighbor. In the book of Matthew 25, it says, whatever you did to the least of these brothers, you have done unto me. Whatever you did not do to the least of these brothers, you have not done unto me. Who is God? The men of God. Who is God? Those who are less fortunate. Never become too familiar with God. I beg you, my brothers and my sisters, it will not be worth your while. Let us never find ourselves becoming too familiar with God. Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.